Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her X-ray vision that allows her to cut through the chaos and get to the core of what's causing the stress and burnout in people's lives. So I am super excited to introduce Tara Reinbolt. Now, Tara is a life coach that specializes in helping career-driven women rediscover their happiness by overcoming work burnout. Tara has an extensive human resources background, is a wife, a mother of two, and since leaving her corporate job, has made it her mission to help women take back control and start living life on their terms. Well, welcome, Tara. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me. I am honored to be here and excited to get started.
Yeah, and I just got to tell you, I just love how you're helping women who are in demanding careers really reclaim their work-life balance in a way that results in happiness. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's been a mission of mine since I've left corporate. And that's the reason why I actually left corporate was because I was totally and utterly burned out. And it almost kind of wreaked havoc on my life. So I've really made it my life's mission so that other women do not have to go through that same process that I did. And that is what led me here today.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're definitely walking your talk, right? And so, can you talk a little bit more about that tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching practice?
Absolutely. So I've always wanted to own my own business ever since I was a kid, but I had no idea what in the world that was going to look like. And then I got into human resources because I thought, oh, I'm going to change the world in my own way in human resources. And I quickly realized that that was not necessarily the case. But after I left corporate to take care of my family and my daughter, I decided that I was going to go back into human resources, but on my own terms, thinking that that would be where it was at, right? That's
Right.
where I wanted to start my business. And then I quickly realized, okay, this is the same old, same old. That's not working. HR is not it. It's, led me to have some great skills, but it's not what I'm meant to do. And then finally, like a ton of bricks, it hit me that I went through this, 6-year process of totally becoming burnt out along the way of my HR career. And it hit me like, wow, this is what I need to help women do. I don't want anyone to have to go through what I experienced. And it took me about 8 months after I left corporate to decide and heal from burnout that I needed to go into. So it kind of, we talk about as entrepreneurs, like not getting that clarity until you actually take action. And that was the case here. I had to take action, start my own business, and realize that this isn't it. And then it led me to, this is where I'm meant to be. And now I'm going full force into helping women overcome burnout through coaching.
Right. It is interesting how we have our, our paradigm or our belief kind of set on one track, and we think that's the thing that's the thing, you know, whatever has led us, obviously it's been a process to get that job within corporate. That's not an easy thing to do. And so that takes a lot of focus and energy, and you're in that role and you're living that life and you think, no, this is good. This is it. This is it. And then you realize, maybe it's not it. You know, and you think you know what it is, but like you said, until you jumped into what you thought was it, then you realized, we're not quite there. But I love that you didn't let that stop you and say, oh, well, just get over it. Because that's what a lot of people do, right? It's like, oh, just get over it. Stop being a baby. You know, this is it. Stop whining. You know, life is tough. And
right,
no, exactly. That wasn't you. You kept going. Nope, this isn't quite it. I know there's something more. There's something different that will be it. So that's what I love in hearing, you know, about your vision and this drive within you. So how long have you had your coaching practice? And besides the original kind of shift that you made from the HR scope into helping women, have there been any other changes or evolutions in your mission or vision?
There was. So I started coaching in January of 2020. And when I first started coaching, I brought on a lot of clients that were in total burnout. And not that that's a bad thing. Those are the people that I want to help the most, because that's who I was, right?
Right.
But those type of clients, a lot of times they're not ready to let go of this know-it-all attitude. They think that they know it all, which is partly what got them into burnout to begin with.
Right.
Because of that, I kind of shifted back into my HR zone of genius when I was beginning coaching, and that was the business strategy piece. So from when I first started, I was going into helping people overcome burnout. And then it shifted into specifically business coaching, because my clients were just so much more motivated, so much more compelled to take the action that we created in order for them to be successful, and they were seeing results. So I was really excited to go down that path. And then what happened along my journey is COVID hit. Mm-hmm. My daughter lost childcare because of that for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And she was only going to daycare, I think, twice at that point in time. But that was all that I really had to work on my business, other than evenings to do my coaching calls. So essentially, I had to just stop the coaching at that point in time, just for a little bit, as far as trying to get new clients, that is, and just continue to work with my current clients throughout that time period. And so during that time period, I did a lot of praying. I am a Christian, and I really was thinking, okay, I want to do business coaching, period. It's easier. People are motivated to do this. And right. Then I kind of had some aha moments along the way that put me back in my place of, no, you're going to do coaching on helping women overcome burnout. That's your ministry. That's what you're meant to do. I received a lot of affirmations that put me back on that track, even though I'll be honest, I didn't really want to go back on that track. But then I've kind of reframed on who it is that I want to work with. And ultimately, the ideal client of mine has slightly changed. And ever since, it's working out beautifully. And these type of clients, they want to put in the work. They want to make the changes. They want to rehabilitate those relationships that they've strained over the years of devoting all of their time to work or whatever it is that's burning them out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. If they have that perceived need to really, you know, something's got to give, something's got to shift here, because there's a lot at stake. Basically, you have walked your talk, right? You've been there, done that, and you have developed methodologies to help people avoid that. So yeah, that's where they're ready. They're finally ready for you.
Right, exactly. And I kind of had to reframe my thinking on it along that coaching journey as to, no, this is the right this is what I need to still focus on, but you just need to come at it from a different, from a different starting point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way, in addition to just really zeroing in on who you love working with and who can best benefit from your expertise? Have there been any other big roadblocks or challenges?
Well, interestingly enough, I think once I realized that this is what I wanted to do, and there were so many affirmations that this is what I was meant to do, the belief in the fact that it was going to happen, I was going to be successful, I was going to help people, that piece was a done deal. I didn't really have any work to do on myself, but my family kind of had, I don't want to throw this word out there haphazardly, but they kind of had post-traumatic stress disorder on me working so much when I was in corporate, so that when it came to me focusing on my business and needing maybe a little extra time here or there, or to jump on a call that was a little unexpected with a client, I had quite a bit of resistance from my husband, because he would go back into the mode of, here we go again. And so I had to kind of reel him in and say, no, you know, there's ebbs and flows of business, and I'm only looking at like an hour here. I need to jump on a call with the client. That's how this goes. But I always keep my family first in doing so. That was definitely a roadblock, and basically enrolling my husband in my long-term vision for my business was a roadblock that I had to overcome. And another roadblock that I had to overcome was just juggling the time piece, because he was working, I was a full stay-at-home mom with our little ones, and therefore had to make sure that they were my priority. And the other pieces that I would have to say were, you know, obstacles for me is that my in-laws and my parents, they in their own minds were thinking, oh, this is just a hobby. They don't get the online coaching space. They don't understand it.
Right. What are you doing? Just kind of blogging, or what, you know, what are you doing, Tara?
Right.
No, they don't understand the business side of it.
they don't get it. So, and then in addition, because I work so much, they would always throw in there, well, you should be doing this and you should be doing that, and the kids shouldn't go to daycare. You should have them at home with you all the time, but you can't have it all. I mean, you have to, there's a little bit of give and take. You know, my philosophy with coaching and helping women to reclaim that happiness is you can have it all, but that goes hand in hand with the people in your life. You have to have a balance there. You have to have them help you create what that looks like, so the schedule works for everybody.
Right. Yeah. Now that it does create a little bit more complications when you've got so many different cheerleaders, we'll put it that way. Right. So can you give us maybe a technique that you utilized? And I know for me, I'm really curious as to what you did, if you did anything to address the in-laws' shoulds. Have you taken any action that has resulted in anything there? And if you haven't, I understand, because in my mind, that's a big mystery. It's like, did you do something? Is there a technique you utilize to overcome that challenge?
Actually, there's two things. So one is I had to realize that there were a lot of expectations that I developed myself of what they should be doing, just like they developed expectations of what I should be doing. So that caused some resistance, you know, the comparison factor of, oh, well, they did this for this grandchild and they did that for that grandchild. You know, that came into play in my mind. And then, oh, I'm an only child and my grandparents took care of me. Why don't I have more help? So I had to really work through those beliefs of they should be more involved and not, and me not having to ask for help. And one of my not issues, but one of the things that I have always been known to do is not ask for help. So I had to suck it up. I had to suck it up and say, this is important to me and I need your help and we need to get on a schedule. And if we can't, that's fine. I'm going to have to take action and put the kids in daycare if that's going to be the case. And if you guys disagree with that, then too bad, because I have to do what makes sense for my family. So I really had to work through the expectations that I had on them and to just drop those expectations of them, you know, hey, I really want to pick up the girls today and hang out. You know, I had to drop that. And ever since I dropped that, things have been, oh my gosh, so much better.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, Wendy, it's a work in progress.
Oh, I can only imagine as the kids kind of evolve and get older and get into more activities and this and that, then things will keep changing. But yeah, I love that, how you really realize that, okay, well, there are two sides of this coin. And I realize some things that I need to shift possibly as well. And it's not just them. So yeah, well, thank you for sharing that insight. I think that's really beneficial, because that's got to be one of those things that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, is what others are thinking about their vision and their mission, you know, and that input, whether we want it or not, it still affects us, because, you know, there are people that we do love, you know, and they're important to us. So it's hard to just block that out. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. And you know, you're obviously an expert at helping these career-driven women overcome, you know, their work-related burnout. But I'm curious here, Tara, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Absolutely. I think we all do to some degree. I would have to say my main challenge is that I think once you get into the coaching business and your heart is so set on serving people, you want so badly to help people that sometimes it's difficult not to oversell, you know? And I think that's one of the things that I have a problem, or I need help with, I would have to say, is I see the potential and the client that I'm speaking to when I'm on my sales call, and I want so badly for them to join the program because I know I can help them. Mm-hmm. So I go into overselling mode. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that may turn them off. And then we leave the call and I'm like, oh, it would have been such a great fit, you know, but I just didn't get it done. And I know that can definitely be attributed to sometimes I go into overselling mode.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. And you're not alone in that sense of just being so excited, because you can see the difference and you can see that's your zone of genius, right? It's an X-ray vision. You can literally cut through that chaos and know pretty quickly, I'm assuming, the core of what's going on for somebody that is manifesting out into this feeling of stress, into this feeling of burnout, and this situation that is playing out before you. And you're wired to want to just dive in there and help. And if the person is not quite connected with your message quite yet or something, then, you know, they're not ready to jump in and have that. Yeah, let's get going, Tara. Let's do this. And so I would love to give you a couple insights or maybe a technique to help shore that up if you'd like.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this.
Okay. All right. Well, so, you know, one of the things that is important for us for, you know, when we're entering into an enrollment conversation, strategy session or discovery call, whatever, however it's framed, is to set an intention prior to going into the call. And it's kind of like a pilot, right? You know, they've flown the plane thousands of times, but they have a pre-flight checklist. And so the pre-flight checklist, or the list of intentions that you would set for yourself prior to the call, is to just, maybe the word is pull back, or maybe assess urgency, because your excitement is built on the fact that you know you can make a difference. But the problem is the other person doesn't know if they're really clear on whether or not they want to commit to making a difference. They're on this, what I call a prospect to client journey, and they're trying to figure you out. They're trying to figure out what they really want, and they're trying to figure out what the plan is, and all these things are going on in their head. And if there's too much going on, then they're in that state of overwhelm and they can't make a decision, right? And so right. It comes a point when it's like this little signal for yourself to just check in, pull back and check in. And you would maybe structure this at a certain place during your conversation where it's just this red light for you to stop and check in and say, so what's landing for you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to just set this intention for yourself before the call to, at some point, you're going to just pull back. You know, it's like when the airline pilot is coming in for a landing, there's at some point where he or she thrusts the engine because it puts the nose up or something, you know, it just does this different technique in order for the plane to land. And so it sounds like everything is going great, but then towards the end, you just keep getting more and more excited and the person isn't quite ready for that. You call it overselling, but it's just really excitement, you know?
Right.
And what needs to happen is just pulling back a little. And so my long story short is to set for yourself an intention at a certain place of your call where you literally are going to pull back the reins and just say, how is this landing for you? What's coming up in terms of how important is it for you to really want to step out of this feeling of chasing your tail, this stress, this burnout?
I love that. That would definitely be helpful. I know my current sales process or on my strategy calls, I do not currently do that. And I know that would definitely be helpful. It would be a good checking in point for them too, to say, hey, well, where am I at? You know,
right, exactly. Just checking in, just saying, well, so what's coming up for you? How important is it for you to, you know, so the prompt for you and the intention ahead of the call is, okay, I'm going to check in and pull back. And that's all it is because you don't have that guardrail for yourself. You can be excited. That's great. People love that enthusiasm. It conveys confidence, but there also needs to be just this, okay, well, let's just check in and see what's coming up for you. So hopefully that'll help move the needle a little bit. And that enthusiasm isn't necessarily tapered, right? Because we love that. And we don't want to change that enthusiasm, but we also need to allow your potential client just a little bit of space and room to give you insight as to where are they, you know, in the information that you've been presenting.
Right. That makes sense because then that would also help me to evaluate where we go next.
Yeah.
So I love that advice. Thank you very much.
That's absolutely. My pleasure. And, you know, Tara, I'm curious here. We've been experiencing this pandemic right now for over a year. Gosh, it's April. So what, 14 months, if more? And it has had a huge impact on people's lives. My goodness, you know, everybody's at home. Some people have been furloughed. Some people have been trying to do work remotely. My goodness, it's just been this catalyst for stress. So can you share a little bit around the impacts of the pandemic on the work that you do?
Absolutely. It's definitely had quite an impact because prior to COVID, people were definitely burning themselves out the same ways, you know, through taking care of loved ones, from working too much, from taking care of their kids. And then once COVID hit, you have this whole extra element of worry, anxiety, and stress that's added on because a lot of people are juggling work from home, taking care of the kids. Some of them have not been able to even visit their loved ones that they were helping take care of that are in different homes, things like that. So the list goes on and on. They've just juggling a lot of different hats that they were used to kind of keeping separate, you know? So right. That is the X factor with COVID and how it's changed. So for what I do is it just kind of adds an extra layer of problem solving and kind of reorganizing so that the client feels much less overwhelmed, because that's the goal. Like, one of the first things that I do when I work with my clients is we go through a process of simplifying your life. And ultimately, that's just delegating, that's removing things if you can. And part of that process, ultimately, the goal is to get more time back. And with COVID, you know, a lot of the time that they get back, they're still hanging out with their loved ones. Everyone's still in the same house. But you know, you get crafty with it in order to help them really simplify and reprioritize.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense, because the boundaries have been turned into this mishmash of, you got the kids running through the office and the dog rushes in on a meeting and this and that, and that creates stress, you know, and trying to hold that professional role within the corporation or whatever that woman is doing for her career. And so, yeah, I can see where there's a huge need for the work that you do, because stress and burnout, I mean, the ripple effect is huge. So can you talk a little bit more about, you know, how you do work with career-driven women who do want to finally live that happy, fulfilling life instead of feeling stressed or burned out? Can you share a little bit more about your philosophy or your approach?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Well, first, what we do is we get to the root cause of what is leading them to burnout, because there's always a set of habits, essentially. What I like to call them is self-sabotaging thinking patterns that lead them to create even more unhealthy habits. It's this, as you called it, it's a ripple effect. So we have to get to the root cause, number one. And then after we get to the root cause and we really uncover what it is that's going on that's causing them this burnout, mm-hmm. then we go into overcoming each self-sabotaging thinking pattern one at a time. Mm-hmm. And I utilize, I don't know if you're familiar with Brooke Castillo. She is she's the founder of the Life Coach School, and she has a model that she uses with all of her clients, and she teaches it at the school for certification. And what it is it's your circumstance creates your thoughts, and your thoughts propel your feelings, and your feelings create your actions, and your actions equal your results. Mm-hmm. So I utilize that model specifically with my clients so that they become more self-aware at all times. Because once we do that uncovering of what self-sabotaging behaviors or patterns that they're experiencing that are leading them to these bad habits, because once we do something for more than 21 days, typically it becomes a habit, and that's good or bad, right? You know, that's not necessarily a good thing. Our brain's running around on autopilot, right? So then the key is to really figure out, oh gosh, I'm getting into this pattern again. I need to stop. So we utilize that model, and then we utilize journaling, because it's kind of like you think about something and then your ADD brain goes and thinks about something else. Oh, a squirrel. Right. So you gotta write it down. That's the only way for you to actually start to kind of reprogram your brain. It's the only way to organize the clutter that is our brain. And it's the only way for you to kind of course correct when you're going down the perfectionism or the procrastination, bad behavior. And let's face it, we all have it. You have to become aware of what is your Achilles heel? What are the issues that you have? So that is the process that I really take my clients down. And then once we master essentially creating new habits to get rid of the old habits, then we get into the tactics piece, like time management and things that you've heard from the industry for so long on boundaries, time management, and all of that, that jazz. But first you have to manage your mind in order to actually follow the tactics, because the tactics are useless if you don't follow them.
Right. Yeah. And mostly, you know, that is something that people don't focus on. You know, okay, I'm going to try the checklist approach, or I'm going to try this approach or something, and not realizing that, it's these self-sabotaging behaviors that I'm doing that's actually not setting me up for success. So, yeah, so I love your approach. It's very thorough and, you know, obviously well thought out, and you have walked your talk, right? You have proven and created your own process and methodologies based on your own experience in going through a similar type of a journey from burnout into, you know, managing all these different things and being a full-time mom, being a full-time wife, being a full-time, you know, business owner, all these full-time things. Okay. Doing this in a way that actually does create happiness and balance. So yeah, I love that. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Yes, they can visit my website. It's at burnout and the number 2bless.com. I have a quiz there that I encourage them to take. It's called Burnout or Stressed Out.
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't really think they're stressed out. They just think, oh, it's par for the course. This is just my situation.
Right.
I'm here to tell you that that's not necessarily true. It's worthwhile to take that quiz. And once they do, they will receive an email from me with the comprehensive phases of burnout and signs and symptoms to look out for. Sure. So again, that's at burnout, B-U-R-N-O-T, number 2bless.com.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. So yeah, that sounds like a really illuminating quiz because, you know, when I think about it, oh, burnout, stress. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about the differences. So that's brilliant. I love that. And so they can find that quiz on your website. And so that's burnout2blessed, BLESSED.com. And it's the number 2, correct?
You've got it. Yes.
Burnout2blessed.com, and look for that quiz. All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you for that, Tara. And, you know, you have already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here during our conversation, but if I can tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Well, first, I would definitely have to say that the feelings that you're experiencing are totally normal. We all go through it, right, Wendy?
Journey. Yep. It's true.
Exactly. But I encourage you to hold on to that thought and feeling that you were meant for something more, and that your mission is going to impact others. And my next piece of advice is a little unconventional, but I would tell them to get curious. Start picking apart why they're having these doubts, because as we've talked about, the obstacles that one has to overcome when you're starting your own business, when you're going through, you know, different phases within your business, you're going to come across naysayers. You're going to feel, you know, like maybe you don't know it all. You're not capable at certain times when you're being stretched. So I encourage you to do a deep dive, and that will help you work on overcoming those limiting beliefs, because we all have them, and working through them on the front end and being proactive is really going to help you set up a foundation for success, so that when you do feel those feelings of doubt and you do get overwhelmed, you already have a plan in place to overcome that obstacle, because You're going to fall down. You're going to scrape your knees. It's going to happen. It's about getting back up that counts. And if you have a plan and you know your blind spots, then you're going to be so much further than most entrepreneurs are. So I encourage you to get curious and explore those feelings so that you can really work through it.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that. And obviously that is one of the techniques that you have incorporated into your methodology in terms of that journaling, you know, just get curious and journal it out. And then that is your go-to for those moments when suddenly you've lost your bearings or feeling that sense of overwhelm, or maybe things are just not meant to be, and which is not true, because if you had that original idea and vision and passion and inspiration, that does mean something. So yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing both of those. That's great. Totally. Very effective. And Tara, it has just been so great, you know, listening to your journey, learning more about your experience within the corporate world, within HR, which you thought was your career, right? You know, started out and it seemed like this perfect match, but you, after 6 years, I think you said, realized this was not working. The feeling of burnout and the downside of all the demands were just not bringing you that sense of fulfillment. And instead of putting up with it, you took charge and you took that chance. You took that risk and mustered up the courage to go out on your own and through varying different, you know, paths, realize that you were meant to really serve and help other women who are feeling a similar type of a situation. So now the impactful work you're doing, helping career-driven women take back control and really start living life on their terms and create that happiness that everybody deserves, but not everybody takes that chance and takes the action to have occur in their life. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you so much for having me, Wendy. It's been awesome being here. It's a privilege, and I'm thankful that I had quite a few takeaways myself. It's been fun chatting with you.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Tara Reinbolt through her website, and that's burnout2blessed.com. And that's number two. So burnout2blessed.com. And be sure to look for that quiz that she has created, burnt out or stressed out, and see where you fall in that quadrant. So it sounds like a very interesting illumination that'll probably occur. So, and for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Tara Reinbolt. And as always, here's to your success.